Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
How you doing, folks? It's Joe here. It is Wednesday. It's Champions League evening. The football show, as you know it and are used to it, is on the way with Kenny Cunningham, and Jonathan Northcroft actually features this evening as well. That should be in your feed, either above or below this. But just for a bit of context, we spoke to Graham Hunter before Real Madrid played on this Wednesday evening, and it's pretty timeless, actually, whether Madrid win or lose in any massive kind of way. So we thought we would include that as well. So here's Graham Hunter talking on Wednesday ahead of the Real Madrid game that evening.
Now, next up, it has been too long. Graham Hunter, come on in. Hello.
Chuff, baby. We're back together, man.
It's been too long. I mean, I missed you. I think about you. I don't hear from you. I don't know what's going on.
Football will do that to you. Football's like love, man. It breaks you apart. It brings you together. This big gun with a wind symphony's playing in the background. I'm back, baby.
You're back. So, Real Madrid, we want to check in with you this evening ahead of this game. Less so about the game. I would suspect it will be relatively comfortable for them in the grand scheme of things. More where we are in these 10 days since Lopetegui met his inevitable end. What's been going on? What's the word? How's it all shaping up?
Yeah, well, I'm as contrary as I ever was, Joe. I'm sad to tell you. And therefore, I think the answer to that is, hold on there, baby. I'm not so sure because some of your weather check depends on this game tonight. You're right if you pick their sort of names and their achievements and their budget. Fine. Okay. It should be relatively straightforward for Real Madrid, but it wasn't at home. They went 2-0 up, the Victoria, and got in an awful muddle, not only conceded a goal, but Lopetegui's team were booed off the pitch. That was definitely one of the several final straws that broke that particular Real Madrid's back. I think there has been a slight change, and you take the temperature via the players, and the players say, yeah, look, there's a spring in our step again because Solari's training is different, but because also we were all suffering under, I mean, I'm summarising, but we were all suffering under the pressure of seeing a manager that we wanted to succeed for, that we wanted to bring through, on the point of being sacked. There have been very many players, Joe, have spoken out since Lopetegui went, and in the dog days of his reign as well, saying, you know, we need to support him, we want to keep him here, he's doing his best. Since then, Toni Kroos has said that one of the worst things about being a footballer is when a man you like is sacked. Danny Carvajal said only 36 hours ago, Lopetegui's the best coach I ever had. And therefore, they were, whatever their other flaws, and I want to pinpoint the principal one as mental relaxation and the lack of fitness, the fitness preparation under Lopetegui's a guy that he brought in has proven to be a bad way to treat a difficult subject when you've won three European trophies straight and you've had a World Cup. Clearly, it was a very difficult prospect about how to retune, fine-tune this squad without the transfer market particularly helping you. He just didn't get it right. It's noticeable still in the days since Lopetegui has gone and Solari has brought a German training. You can see it, allegedly. You can hear it during the parts of the session that we don't get to see, that it's noisier, that there's that, what would you call it? It's certainly not joie de vivre, but there's a sense of relief and there's a sense of restart. It didn't cure all the problems for anybody listening to Off the Ball who couldn't watch the original Ronaldo coming back as president of Valladolid to the Bernabeu at the weekend. Madrid could easily have lost instead of winning 2-0.
Right.
They broke the deadlock with a fluke goal, but they watched Valladolid run past them time and time and time again. Victoria were there in a scouting sense. They'll see that although there's a change of mood, I think in certain players there's a change of intention, there's freshness in the new left-back, Reguilon, who's been brought in because the huge injury list which Madrid have suffered, which includes Varane and Marcelo, and I think it has made a difference in recent weeks that there are absences, including Dani Carvajal, who doesn't travel, doesn't play tonight. Reguilon brought freshness. Ceballos can bring freshness. Vinicius is the guy that everybody's talking about. It's too soon to be placing so much weight on the young Brazilian shoulders. However, if you summarise all of that, there is definitely a sense of relief that the page has been turned. There is definitely a jauntiness because Solari is an optimistic, front-foot, noisy, positive, sportingly aggressive Argentinian. Which other types are there, Joe, I ask you? But does that mean it's easy tonight? No, I don't think so, no.
I will accept that. You're allowed to be contrarian when you argue it so well. So, much like Ryan Giggs, and I suspect lots of the listeners, and I'll quote Ryan Giggs, I haven't seen many of the games because they're not in Sky anymore, he said as he announced his squad for the friendly. upcoming against Albania. They're on 11 Sports, and I haven't got that, so I haven't seen it.
Good man, Giggsy. Good
yeah,
man, Giggsy.
It's a hell of an admission for Giggsy.
The Association of Wales ever lash out €39 it costs for unlimited games all season. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So it's good to hear the performances haven't been outstanding, but they have won. Is the optimism and the fresh voice that Solari has brought sufficiently impressive to give him a decent chance of getting the job permanently? And I know there are, you know, there is a deadline looming as well. Where are we on who might replace Lopetegui?
You've typically phrased it well. No wonder this is a multi-award winning show. Congratulations again, leader. Should I call you? Should have called you from the start. Look, so you, decent chances, right? It's in the mix because Conte refuses to make himself available by... the mechanism is that once he reaches an employer... It's the same as being sacked from your post in any walk of life, except that the decimal points are far greater. If Conte were to say yes to Real Madrid, then Chelsea would say, well, your compensation needs to go down. Conte's very determined about exactly how much he's paid for the indignity of being bumped at Chelsea and treated the way that he was, according to him. And therefore, availability, no, Joachim Löw won't come immediately. It hasn't even said, yeah, I'm definitely going to come, but he was an objective that's been missed. I don't think Wenger was ever a real alternative. And I genuinely believe that if there is a way in which Florentino Perez can trustingly keep this job ticking over via Solari for the remainder of the season until Jose Mourinho is, in theory, available. No harm to Manchester United. Maybe they want to keep him. But my understanding of the situation is that Mourinho has long been looking at a different declining, certainly not greatest team in the world, football club Barcelona, and an opportunity to go back for unfinished business. This is a projection, not a news story, Joe.
Okay.
Therefore, Solari's chances on an actuarial scale go up. If you've got one of your principal candidates, you might have to wait for until June. Then Solari looks to be a credible alternative. Has he done enough? If you take all the other candidates out of the constellation and you look at his shining star alone, then he hasn't done enough yet to get it. He hasn't had enough time. It's not because of in any way denigrating his personnel methods or his coaching structure. He decided to play largely the same tactics against Valladolid until they changed to Casemiro off. No pivot. He brought Isco and Vinicius on. That seemed to add a sort of quickness in the step of Real Madrid, but does it help them defensively? No. The rule you were talking about is that in La Liga you can't have a temporary coach for more than 2 weeks. You must either confirm that coach and say it's, you know, provisional to the end of the season, but you can't just go, this is a caretaker manager for more than 2 weeks. You must, it's to stop clubs taking advantage of caretaker coaches, promoting them, giving them all the responsibility. They're not paying them, so that's laudable in that sense. So you're right, by this weekend, after the game, they must make a decision. I think the odds are gently in Solari's favour that he gets till June, but if they were to lose tonight, then scrap that prediction altogether and start again. Maybe they'll tap the Victoria manager on the shoulder, joking. There's been mention of Bardim, who was sacked recently by Monaco after a pretty extraordinary run of success. So if you were to say, look, take a little punt, take a little stab at it, is Solari going to be in charge until May? I'd say it's about 60-40, yes.
Okay, interesting times. And before you go then, just two last very quick points. I'm just curious to get to the nub of the matter, because sometimes you can see headlines and it's never as extreme as portrayed. So I'm reading, you know, Sergio Ramos being jeered headlines. I mean, the last two times I've seen Ramos in the last couple of weeks pop up on my radar has been one to boot the ball at some young player several times and then apologise somewhat.
That was Reguilon, yeah.
Didn't like that, I must say. And then, you know, he made that point about Conte. I mean, it was about Conte ultimately having to earn respect as opposed to imposing it. And then I see he's the brunt of some jeering in their 2-0 win at the weekend. I mean, was it very audible jeering? Was it very noticeable? Yeah. Or am I just reading headlines?
It was, Joe. You're right. You have to sort of flavour some of these headlines with a pinch or two of salt. Sometimes a sackful, but he was whistled. It tends to be whistling and jeering in Spain rather than booing.
Yeah.
And from the first time he touched the ball, there was a good deal of whistling from the Bernabeu. And that is, it's you know, culturally it's not all that different, but I think it's slightly different from Ireland, from the UK where I grew up. When you turn on one of your own, it's usually pretty serious. In this instance, it can very often just be what they call here a toque de atención, just a little, a flick of the ear to say, wake up, pay attention. It can do players good. It did Ramos some good in that when Benzema won a penalty, he grabbed the ball. Because it's direct to Seigneur, he chipped the keeper and then punched the flag and sort of used a very, very strong expression to the fans.
Right.
And it didn't bring out a better performance for him during the game, because particularly when Valladolid could have scored, he was in no man's land again. And it's merited, Joe, to be quite honest. As much as I will regularly say how I like him warts and all, and I enjoy his sheer, naked, aggressive, competitive nature, and I've met and spoken to him many times, and I like him individually. He's ruthless, there's no doubt about that, and ruthless people will occasionally cross the line. But in this instance, he has relaxed. I think subsequent stories, I didn't know it at the time, but people, let's even say players in Krasnodar in Spain's World Cup expedition, have subsequently mentioned to me little bits and pieces where I think three straight European Cup wins has led Sergio Ramos to think from I will not be beaten to I'm unbeatable. And I think that's it's a marginal shift, but it's a deadly shift if you're a player. And I think that he does need a restart in his season, a restart in his dedication and his fitness and his aggression on a daily basis. And then the crowd will stop whistling and jeering him.
OK, very interesting. My last question then, if we class what Ramos endured as a bit of an admonishment, a clip around the ear, it feels like a more consistent kind of unhappiness with Gareth Bale. And, you know, we talked about the Valdano quotes on the show a couple of weeks ago, that he's created this illusion he's some sort of world superstar, that the amount of money paid for him. Look, this has been a reoccurring theme. He has been a lightning rod at times for criticism. He's picking a bad time to endure his worst goal-scoring drought since arriving at Madrid. He was getting a bit of abuse as well, Bale.
Yeah, and it's his form, his goal-scoring form is directly correlated to his degree of effort on the pitch. I'm not enjoying it. Throughout the years when we've talked, I've been not defensive of him, but I have defended him because it's been sometimes appalling what the Spanish media have done. I think at Real Madrid's bidding, when they want to shift him out, they've ignored quality of performance, his ability to seize the big moment. They've ignored the fact that when he's injured, he's not swinging the leg. They need better medical, better rehab at that club, and better training. That's undoubtedly the case.
Right.
Yet, I think there's only one occasion when I've been absolutely critical of Bale. That was in the Cup last season, away at Espanyol. In the league last season, away at Espanyol on a rainy midweek night when Ronaldo was left out and Bale's given responsibility and he just kind of shriveled. And I haven't enjoyed him pointing to others to say, you run into that space, you chase that man in this run of form. Not because I'm a Real Madrid supporter or because I'm on the Gareth Bale gravy train. It's because when you watch professional sport and you see people shucking responsibility or not facing up to the fact that they're not playing particularly well and there are identifiable reasons for it, then it's our job to constructively call them out. And his form is poor, but his effort level could be a whole lot better. I don't particularly understand it, but now there's a unity between sections of the crowd, the media, and frankly, the club. He has a length of contract left, whereby, and he has an amount of talent left, whereby if the team starts to come right, he can still be a determining player about whether they do or don't win trophies this season. And that's something that is frustrating, because I think you and I, and from my understanding when I meet the listeners of Off the Ball, we're united in identifying greatness of it. Those who do it, not just when they're on top, but they do it when the odds are against them, when the others are failing around them. And right now, that isn't a picture of Bale that I'm painting, unfortunately, for the moment.
Graeme, brilliant. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Super, Joe. Love it. Cheers, mate.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.